Find all of the News for the Soul show hosts, all linked up at newsforthesoul.com. Click on their picture on the homepage to find all the links discussed in today's show. That's newsforthesoul.com. Next on News for the Soul Radio, it's time for Empathic Mastery with Jennifer Moore. Jennifer is a healer, teacher, and spiritual mentor for sensitive, intuitive women who need help controlling the empathic overwhelm that keeps them stuck in their life. She helps people break through fear, overcome the past, and claim their intuitive gifts. Please welcome Jennifer back to News for the Soul.
Welcome to the Empathic Mastery Show. I'm your host, Jennifer Moore, and I'm so glad you're here. This is a place where we talk about what it means to be highly sensitive and empathic, how this impacts all aspects of our lives, and I really do mean all. And we explore tools, resources, and solutions so we can shift from absorbing all the thoughts, feelings, and energy from the world around us to being beacons for calm, love, and healing. So today I'm circling back around to answer some questions I've recently received from some of my listeners. And if you have questions, you can send them to questions@empathicmasteryshow.com. But I wanted to talk about a couple questions that have come in that I really loved because they're really juicy. So I hope you stick around. So the first question that I received was from a person who had been in a relationship and things went kind of south. And so they wrote to me and said, "Jennifer, I hurt a person in the past. We aren't in touch right now. I have tapped for myself to release my guilt and my own healing. Can I also tap as a surrogate on his behalf and release the hurt and help him to embrace his own healing?" So this is a really good question because it really brings up some of the questions about how can we use tapping in effective ways, and also what is really okay with tapping and what might be kind of pushing the limits of free will. And so first off, I just want to say that one of the things that I've noticed for so many of us who are highly sensitive and empathic is that we want other people to feel better because we feel better when they feel better. And even when it comes to a relationship that has been done for a while, if we still have connections to that person, and perhaps you've heard the term cords, so I'm going to start, I'll talk a little bit about cords. So obviously, you can tell this is not a one-and-done kind of answer. This is actually a really interesting question that has a lot of different pieces to it. So first off, I want to talk about cords, and I want to talk about the ways that as human beings, we often connect with each other. And if you think about, like, literally how you connected with your mother when you were in utero, and if you're a human and you're here and you're listening to this show, there's one thing that is true about absolutely every single one of us, and that is that we had an umbilical cord, that there was a point in our life where we were literally connected with a cord to another human being. And so that was a physical form of the way that we form connections with other human beings. And what happens is that we continue to form the same kind of connections with people in our lives. Now, some of these cords are these beautiful, clear tendrils of like beautiful beams of light that extend from our hearts to people that we love. And when you're a parent and you're connecting with somebody that you can't, with, when you're connecting with your children, often there are going to be these cords that are connected to our children that keep sort of almost like a tractor beam or a tether, so we know what's going on. And these kinds of cords are cords that are generally, from my perspective and in my experience working with other people, appropriate and healthy cords, especially when we're talking about a parent with minors. But there are other kinds of cords that we form with people that are sometimes a little bit less healthy for us. And sometimes they can get very entrenched and gnarly. So where a positive, healthy cord might look like this beam of light that is extending from our hearts to another person's heart, or sometimes in the case of a mom and a child, extending from her second chakra, from her uterus, and going to that child's navel in the way that we've originally been connected. But a lot of times when we form the other kinds of cords, they can kind of look like twisted roots, or sometimes they'll look really tangled, like a bunch of black yarn, or even sometimes like rusty barbed wire. And sometimes they can be incredibly thick. They can have all kinds of sort of hooks or tendrils that sort of reach into our energy body. And unfortunately, as human beings, it goes both ways. And so it's very likely that there's been a point in your life when you also sent cords to somebody else and put some hooks into somebody else. Because it's very natural when we feel an attachment to somebody, and especially when we are younger and we are feeling less secure and less sure of the relationship, that one of the things that we unconsciously learn to do is to sort of send our feelers out or sort of cast a line and actually hook somebody. I mean, they don't call it plenty of fish in the sea for nothing. So one of the first things that we want to be looking at when we are experiencing unreconciled stuff about a relationship that is over is what kind of connection do we still have with that person on an energetic level? How are we still connected to them? And one of the ways to tune into this is to actually take some time and tap on your collarbone. Let's just do it right now. And so just taking some time and tapping on your collarbone, close your eyes and just imagine that person and imagine yourself and just look at whether or not there's any kind of connection between the two of you still. And no judgment. You know, this is just a human thing we do. And just assess, is this cord healthy? Is this cord a beam of light? Or is there something about it that may be a little out of balance? And if this is somebody who's still carrying around a lot of hurt and has basically frozen you out, then chances are the cord is not going to be this perfect beam of light. Chances are there's going to be something going on with it. Maybe it's going to be gnarly. Maybe it's going to be dark. Maybe it's going to be all sticky and weird. Maybe it's going to be super thick. Maybe there's going to be some kind of hooks coming in it from both sides, or from your side going into them, or from them coming into you. But just noticing, what does that hook and what does that cord, or are there hooks really, and what does the cord look like? Now, in my experience, instead of severing the cord or cutting the cord, what I believe is that the way it often works is that we have these interconnecting, intertwining cords, and that we send cords into somebody when we have this emotional contract with them, and often they send cords into us. And what we can start by doing is we can start by reeling back our cord. So really deliberately and consciously releasing the connections that we have made. And you can continue to tap on the collarbone as I talk about this. And just seeing all of those connections, any hooks, any kind of sort of almost like, you know, a root system, or I don't know, like lichen or something that's kind of attached, or a barnacle that's been attached. just releasing your attachment and then imagining that you're retracting it like a tractor beam and just pulling the cord that is yours back to you. And as you also do this, whatever kind of cord they have connected to you, you can imagine and even reach down onto your solar plexus or the back of your neck or your heart or wherever, or possibly your root chakra if it's been a sexual relationship. Sometimes that's, those cords can be directly in your genitals. And what you want to do is just sort of using your hands energetically remove those cords from your body and just send them back so that you are no longer carrying those cords around. So that is the first response and step that I have in terms of how do we reconcile this. Now, in regards to the second question, which is, can I tap as a surrogate on this person's behalf and release their hurt and help them to embrace their own healing? In a word, no. Hate to break it to you. But let me put it this way. If the shoe was on the other foot and you had felt incredibly hurt by somebody else and you were taking space from them and maybe you had an axe to grind, maybe you were feeling really resentful, maybe you were still feeling really frustrated, how would you feel if you knew that person was trying to manipulate your energy body? How would you feel if you knew that they were trying to intervene on your behalf? The thing is, it's so much easier for us to see the benefit of helping somebody else than it is necessarily for us to want to accept unsolicited help. And so I think that a lot of times what's important to recognize is if it's not been accepted, if it's not been volunteered, if somebody has not agreed to it, then it's not appropriate for us to give it away. Now, what I will say is that when it comes to intervening on somebody's behalf, when it comes to being of support to somebody, there is one caveat that I have, one exception, and that is that when we're talking about a minor, a child, or somebody who is not cognitively capable of taking care of themselves, and they're stepping in front of a moving train, then we have the right to go and pull them out of harm's way. You know, that sometimes you just have to do the right thing. But when we're talking about adults with free will, I am a strong believer that we absolutely must have their consent in order to do any kind of intercession work on their behalf. That it's very important that they agree to this before we go and mess around with stuff. Now, that said, what we can do is we can continue to do our work on our own stuff around why we still feel the need to help them, why we still feel the need to fix their situation, why we are feeling hurt that they are hurt, and we can release those things. So first step is that we work on retracting our connecting cords, and we also detach the cords that they have with us, and we forgive them and release them, and we send them back. And then what we can do is we can do a series of tapping that I learned from another tapper named Jean Montrastelli. And Jean, this original technique, it's called talk about, talk to, talk as. And this particular technique is a technique that was originally developed by another EFT practitioner named Gwyneth Moss. Now, the thing about this particular approach is that it is incredibly helpful when it comes to working through the gnarly, complicated, challenging relationships that we sometimes find ourselves in. And no matter what's going on, whether we're feeling sad, whether we're feeling frustrated, whether we're feeling hurt and angry, whatever it is, whether we're feeling worried and concerned for the person, what we can do is we can do this protocol. So the first set of tapping and the first rounds of tapping that we do is we talk about the situation and we tap on the situation. And so it would be like, instead of doing the, even though the situation is going on, I deeply and completely love and accept myself, you would actually just start by tapping on the side of the hand. And why don't you join me and we'll do it right now. So, here I am. Very aware of the situation. And so I'm just going to tap on it now. And I'm open to the possibility that it can shift. So here I am looking at this situation. And I'm just tapping on it. And I'm open to the possibility that this can shift. And I'm okay, exactly as I am. So here I am. This was a doozy of a situation. Whole bunch of stuff happened. I was hurt. They were hurt. So I'm just tapping on it. And I'm open to the possibility that this can shift. Okay, so now we're going to start by tapping on the top of the head. And what you would do is you just start describing what's happened. You know, what's going on? Perhaps I just feel so frustrated. They don't even want to listen to me anymore. I know I hurt them, but I wish they could understand. I just feel so hurt. And I feel guilty. I didn't mean to cause them harm. Whatever it is that you're realizing, just tapping on it and acknowledging it. And instead of just focusing on, as we often do, the single reminder phrase, what we're doing is we're just tapping about and talking about the situation. It was really difficult. I know I hurt them. I know I hurt them a lot, and I feel guilty. That's the top of the head. And I'm open to the possibility that this can shift. Eyebrows. I hurt them. Side of the eyes. And I feel guilty. Under the eyes. And I wish it was different. Under the nose. And as I, and now that I'm older and wiser, I know I would do it differently. It's under the lip. I would do it so differently now. I wouldn't, let's name what you wouldn't do. I wouldn't. Avoid conflict with them. Avoid telling them the hard truths. I wouldn't just tapping on it. Collarbone. And instead, I would just naming it. Be honest even if I was scared. Recognize my need for space. Honor the part of me that needed some distance. Under the arm, And as I tap on this, I realize now you just get to talk about that. And back to the top of the head. Okay, and now we're just going to hold the gamut point between the pinky finger and the ring finger and just take a deep breath. So now, if you feel like you haven't completely worked it out, what you would want to do is you would continue to do a few more rounds until it feels like you've kind of aired all the dirty laundry and had a chance to really speak about what's going on with this relationship. And then what you would do is you would do a round or two of tapping where you would actually tell them what you need to tell them. So what I like to do is I like to imagine, I close my eyes, and I imagine the person is there in front of me. And what I do is I imagine that I am speaking from my higher self to their higher self. And this is especially effective when we're talking about a relationship where we've been the party that injured the other person. And just really speaking from that place of, I am so sorry. So tapping on the side of the hand, even though I hurt them, I'm tapping on it now. And I forgive and release this. So even though I hurt them, it's just true. And it's painful. I'm just acknowledging it. And I forgive and release this whole situation. Even though it's just true, I did hurt them, and I am so sorry. I forgive this and release this. I forgive myself. I know I was doing the best I could. Top of the head, I'm so sorry. Eyebrows, I really didn't know what I was doing. Obviously, you fill in the blanks, you fill in the words, you say what makes sense to you. Side of the eyes, I know I hurt you. Under the eyes. And I'm really sorry. Under the nose. Please forgive me. Under the lip. I forgive you. Collarbone. I love you. Under the arm. And thank you for all the lessons I've learned from this. Thank you for all the ways I have grown. Top of the head. If it weren't for this situation, I wouldn't be who I am today. Eyebrows. And I have learned so much. Side of the eyes. I have come so far. Under the eyes, I am a different person because of this situation. Under the nose. And I realize how much I learned. Under the lip, it was painful. Collarbone. But I learned a lot. So just thinking about it. Just naming, what have you learned and how have you changed? Just owning it. Under the arm, thank you for your part in this whole situation. Because I wouldn't be here if it weren't for the situation. And I really have come so far. And I really have learned so much. And I can see now that there are things that I can appreciate about where we, what I learned, even though it hurt. Back to the top of the head. So we're just going to do another round of Ho'oponopono, the Hawaiian prayer of forgiveness. Top, we're still on the top of the head. I am sorry. Eyebrows, please forgive me. Side of the eyes, I like to add this. I forgive you. Under the eyes. I love you. Under the nose, thank you. Under the lip, I'm sorry. Collarbone, please forgive me. Under the arm, I forgive you. Top of the head, thank you. Eyebrows, I love you. And now side of the eyes. Just tuning in and seeing if there's anything else you need to say. Honoring this relationship under the eyes. Under the nose. And if you feel comfortable with this, this is the point where you can say, I forgive you and I release you. Under the lip, I forgive you, and I release you. Collarbone, I forgive you, and I release you. Under the arm, I forgive you, and I release you. Top of the head, I forgive you, and I release you. Eyebrows, it is safe for me to let this go. Side of the eyes, I forgive you, and I release you. Under the eyes, it is really safe for me to let this go. Under the nose, I did the best I can. Under the lip, I forgive you, and I release you. Collarbone, I forgive you, and I release you. Under the arm, I forgive you, and I release you. Back to the gamut point, that spot between your ring finger and your middle finger. I mean, not middle finger and baby finger. Just tapping on that. Now hold it with your hand and take a deep breath. And now we're going to go into the final round, which is talk as. And this is where we give that other person a chance to explain their own perspective and speak sort of about what you've realized about them. Now, it's not that you're going to necessarily be them as much as what you're going to do is you're going to talk about what you now understand. So, going back to the slide of the hand, even though I know that this was a really difficult situation. And I hurt this person in the past. I forgive and release myself. And I forgive and release them. And as I've tapped on it, I've realized that if I put myself in their shoes, I can see. And now you fill in the blank. Maybe that they were doing the best they could. That they were scared. That they didn't have the communication skills to express what was going on. That there was a whole bunch of other stuff going on at the same time. All these things. So even though it's just true, I hurt this person. It was a difficult situation. I'm just acknowledging it. And since I've tapped on it, I can recognize. What do you recognize? And I realize that if I was in their shoes, I probably would. Just really, really thinking from their perspective. What are you realizing? And I forgive this and release this. And I love and accept myself exactly as I am. So even though I hurt this person and it was a difficult situation, as I've tapped on it, I realize, and if I put myself in their shoes, if I imagine things from their perspective, I can see what? They were doing the best they could. They tried. Maybe they didn't have the communication skills they needed to be able to express things before things got too difficult. Maybe they were scared. Maybe they were anxious. Maybe they just didn't know how to be in a relationship. All these possibilities. This is your chance to just really speak from that perspective. And if you are doing this on your own, you can take as much time with each round until you really feel the shifts that happen. Top of the head. Since I've tapped on it, I can see that they were doing the best they could, or whatever you realize. Eyebrows. I realize that. You get to fill in the blank now. Side of the eyes. And if I was in their shoes, I probably would have fill in the blank. Under the eyes. Because just keep on expressing what needs to be expressed. Under the nose. And I see now under the lip, and I understand. What do you understand about their perspective? Collarbones. And with this understanding, I am willing to forgive this and release this. I forgive myself and release myself from this guilt. I forgive, say the name of the person, and release them from this situation. I forgive you and release you. I forgive me and release me. It is safe for me to let this go. Under the arm. Any last bits of what I've realized? Just acknowledging it now. And I'm open to the possibility that this can truly shift, that this can release, and it is safe for me to let this go. Back to the top of the head, and I love and accept myself. Okay. So let's take a deep breath. So this was sort of a variation of talk about, talk to, talk as. And there were places where I threw in some affirmations in the middle of it, and where I sort of opened up the possibilities for forgiveness and release. And so if you were doing it exactly by the book, you would do a little bit more just talk about, talk to, and talk as. But I do like to add, throw in the whole forgiveness component and just really open up the possibility. So I hope that this has given you a good tool for a way to work with something without doing surrogate tapping on behalf of somebody where you are trying to shift their behavior or shift their, you know, sort of fix them or address them. Because this is more about accepting them for exactly who they are, how they are, and why they're going through what they're going through. Because the irony is, 9 times out of 10, maybe 10 times out of 10, when we can accept people for exactly as they are, that's when the miracles happen. And it's when we get into these power struggles of wanting ourselves and or other people to be different, that's usually when we have the hardest time making changes. And so the irony is, the more we forgive and release it, the more we love and accept ourselves and love and accept other people for exactly where they are, the more miraculous the results are. So I hope that you found this helpful. I would love to hear what your experience with this is. As I mentioned before, you can reach out to me at questions@empathicmasteryshow.com and let me know how this affected you, what you noticed about things, and also, if you have any other questions, please don't hesitate to reach out. So, I'm going to jump on to the second question that I got, which is another one that is absolutely wonderful. And that is, how do I stay open and receptive and protected at the same time, particularly when it comes to letting love in? Boy, howdy, is that a big question. Because one of the things that I have seen happens for so many of us who are highly sensitive and empathic is that very often, especially when we don't have tools for navigating being highly sensitive and empathic, what we do is we tend to block everything. We tend to put up big concrete walls around ourselves, and we try to seal ourselves off from the energy that's going on in the world around us in order to try to protect ourselves from all of the thoughts, feelings, pain, suffering, you name it. And so the problem with this, there's a couple different problems. One of the problems with this is that when we do this kind of blocking, we not only block ourselves from the negativity and the toxicity that's in the world, but we also block ourselves from being able to experience pleasure, from being able to let love in, from being able to recognize opportunities as they come. And so we often sort of go through the motions, kind of with the color dialed down in our life, and a lot of times sort of like go through life feeling more like a zombie than a joyful, radiant being. And so that's one of the challenges with the way that a lot of us try to cope with too much information. But the other challenge is that in my experience with myself and with many of the other highly sensitive empathic people I've worked with over the years, the problem with this is it doesn't actually work. And so what happens is that we still keep on getting stressed out and triggered, and it has a tendency to build up kind of like gasoline inside of a pressure cooker. And so, and eventually, the whole thing just explodes. And so we might be able to sort of use some pressure and use some force to try to keep things away for a while, but the amount of energy that we exert to try to keep ourselves safe over time ends up really wearing us down, and eventually our health can implode. Emotionally, we can really just lose it. And there are many, many ways that eventually we just become completely depleted, exhausted, overwhelmed, and also not able to manifest the joyful life that we want to create in our world. So the thing about this is that in order to really allow ourselves to stay open and receptive and protected at the same time, we really need to start working with a system that works. And that is actually why I've created the Empathic Mastery System. And the book, Empathic Mastery, is going to be coming out October 1st. And I am so excited to be sharing it with you. And so I'm just going to give you a little taste of what it's all about right now. Because in order to be able to stay open and receptive and protected at the same time, we need to know how to work with this. So the first step of empathic mastery, and there's five steps, is to recognize what's mine, what's not mine. And part of this is also about recognizing what are you really feeling comfortable with. Because sometimes staying open and receptive is actually trying to force yourself to do something that you're not ready to do. So the first step is really recognizing, what am I picking up on? What's going on in the world around me? What's mine? What's not mine? And then secondly, what do I really want? So recognizing what you really want, and from that, what are your boundaries? What are you comfortable with? What are your limits? And really recognizing that. And when it comes to intimacy, and I guess that's sort of a euphemism for sex, you know, but when it comes to you're going to, you know, be getting hot and heavy with somebody, and you're really experiencing, you plan, you know, we have a nice hot date with somebody planned, it can be really helpful to just think things through in advance and think about, what do you really want? You know, do you want to be having sex with this person on this particular date? Or do you just want to be kissing them? Do you just want to be holding hands? Do you just want to have a conversation? And just giving yourself permission to acknowledge what works for you. And this could have a lot of things. There could be a lot of different factors that are going to contribute to what you actually want with this. It may be that you need to get up really early the next day. It may be that you don't know this person that well and you want to take some more time to get to know them and to understand them. It may be that you have to get home and take care of your kid. And so you can decide in advance what you're thinking about. And you may have heard the saying, an ounce of preframe is worth a pound of reframe. So establishing your boundaries and your terms at the beginning of the date and saying, you know, because this is going on, this is my boundary. This is where I need to stop tonight. This is what we can do today. And I guess what I would say is, any good person is going to love and respect your boundaries and love and respect you for setting those boundaries. And any person who doesn't respect those boundaries, who tries to coerce you or push you or encourage you to do more than you said you were going to do, that is a red flag that this person is not somebody who is honoring you and honoring your boundaries. So bottom line, you set the boundary, they respect it. And if they don't, that is a very, very important sign that there's probably going to be some serious trouble later in the relationship. So the second piece of empathic mastery is release. And release has to do with letting go of the stuff that is no longer serving you. And part of the challenge for those of us who are empathic around the staying open and receptive is, a lot of times before we learned how to protect ourselves, we had a tendency to pick up stuff that we carry around. And so it can be scary to be open and receptive because we're afraid we're going to absorb more negativity. We're going to absorb more toxic stuff, that we're going to take on the worries and concerns and energy, even of somebody that we love. And so a lot of times we're going to try to protect ourselves by sort of holding them at arm's length. So a very big key to being able to allow ourselves to be more receptive is to know how to release the stuff that is no longer serving us. And so the second step in empathic mastery is release. Now the third step is when we get to really focus on self-protection. And self-protection is all about building up our filters and our shields and developing the energetic core that keeps us safe so that we have the ability to take in the positive energy and at the same time we can let all of the negativity and the stuff that's no longer serving us just sort of bounce off of us and sort of slide off the outside of our filter and shield. But protection isn't just about psychic, energetic, astral protection. It's also about self-protection when it comes to our boundaries, recognizing what our terms are, recognizing what we will and will not tolerate, recognizing where it is safe for us to be, where it may not be safe for us to be, and really being mindful of keeping ourselves out of harm's way and keeping ourselves in a good place. So it's very important. It's very important to recognize what we are. It's very important to recognize what feels right and feels safe for us. So that's the third step, which is protect. The fourth step is connect, because you've probably heard the saying, the universe abhors a vacuum. And so connect is about connecting to our divine source and letting ourselves really receive and become a channel for the light. Because letting ourselves be open to receiving and be a channel for the light replaces the negativity, replaces the toxicity, and it creates this opportunity for us to be basically serve as beacons for light as opposed to sponges that are absorbing all the negativity. And when it comes to experiencing pleasure and being open and receptive and protected at the same time, there is nothing like allowing our body to be filled with light and to connect with another body that is filled with light and experience the pleasure that that brings. So step four of empathic mastery is connect. And then step five is act. And that has to do with all of the different ways that we show up for our life in a whole new way. So this may have to do with the idea of thinking about what are your terms? What is going to work with you when you go on this date? What are you going to actually want to do? And then instead of sort of waiting to kind of set the limits later or sort of hope that you recognize that it's 9 o'clock and you have to go, instead of anything like that, that you can preemptively state your terms, that you can express yourself, that you can ask for what you need. Now, ACT has so many different layers to it because it's really about showing up for your life in a whole new way. But when it comes to staying open and receptive and protected at the same time, ACT has the most important piece of this around how do you act in a whole new way has to do with being very, very clear about what your boundaries are. So that's basically laying out empathic mastery system and showing you how you can use this to stay open and receptive and protected at the same time. And as I mentioned, I am absolutely thrilled to say that the book is going to be coming out in October, and I cannot wait to share it with you guys. So that's pretty much it for this show. I'm absolutely thrilled that you guys were here. As I mentioned before, if you have any questions, if you have any comments, if there is any clarification that you're looking for, then please feel free to drop me a line at questions@empathicmasteryshow.com. Also, please feel free to jump over to my Facebook page, Modern Medicine Lady. It's actually Jennifer Moore, Modern Medicine Lady. But if you do the sign, it's the @ModernMedicineLady on Facebook. And I often offer Facebook Lives and tap-alongs and other things there. So please join me over there. And as we come to the end of this week's episode, I'm going to ask you to please pass this show along to friends or family members who are going to find this information helpful or who could use some support with their being highly sensitive and empathic. And as I mentioned before, I'd love to hear what's going on for you as a highly sensitive empathic person, because I'm always looking for what kind of support empaths are needing right now. So, as I mentioned before, please send your questions and also your tapping requests to questions@empathicmasteryshow.com. And while you're at it, visit empathicmasteryshow.com so that you can download your copy of the Empathic Sensitivity Guide. And let me just say, I am really proud of it. It's really pretty. It's definitely a beautiful booklet, and I would love to share it with you. So please go over to empathicmasteryshow.com and go grab your copy of the Empathic Sensitivity Guide. It's got all kinds of helpful tools and tips and information specifically for you as a highly sensitive person, and is designed to give you at least the ability to take the edge off. So that's pretty much it. Please join me again in 2 weeks on Friday, at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific time for the next Empathic Mastery Show. And one last time, hop over to empathicmasteryshow.com for your sensitivity guide and send your requests, send your questions, send your comments to questions@empathicmasteryshow.com. So, until next show, shine on, because we need you and your gifts here on this planet more than ever, ever before. So, please, don't judge your empathic rainbow by colorblind standards. And until next time, peace.
Find all of the News for the Soul show hosts, all linked up at newsforthesoul.com. Click on their picture on the homepage to find all the links discussed in today's show. That's newsforthesoul.com.